I'm a little bit different here tonight. We're going to do some praying in the altars in a little bit, but we're going to do it with the understanding of spiritual warfare. Normally, what can end up happening sometimes is the preacher can get in the way of the Sunday school teachers by preaching or teaching something, and then they'll come to me maybe after service and said, "Hey, man, that's next week's lesson." Well, I've been doing some praying. I knew tonight I'm going to do some teaching on spiritual warfare, but guess what they taught on this morning? I believe in Sunday school. I think it was spiritual warfare. Well, the Lord wants us to obviously be alert, and I have actually pondered and prayed. I do try to keep tabs about what's being preached and taught in our classes, but I do want to focus on it a little bit tonight. There's no way, I know, for these Sunday school teachers, it's a challenge to get through the lesson in 45 minutes to an hour, however long they have to do that. And they probably can't put as much emphasis on one section of Scripture over the other. But I've went on the website. I do this frequently because I want to make sure I know what I've preached and taught and when. But I can't deny what I feel in my spirit at times, and I know what the Lord would like us to talk about a little bit. And tonight, so this morning, what y'all had a good foundation laid for you in some of your Sunday school classes, we're going to revisit that just a little bit. But what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this concept of prayer and warfare. Prayer and warfare, because we don't normally, I don't think, in most of our devotional prayer lives, look necessarily maybe at prayer as warfare as often as we should. Many of you probably have heard this name, but there's a gentleman by the name of E.M. Bounds who wrote a series of books many years ago about prayer. And that was his expertise, if you would. He wrote, how can a man write 500 or 600 pages about prayer? I'll never know until you begin to read his writings and realize that not only did he write about it, but what he did often was share through his experience in prayer some of the things that he experienced. And what he kind of plumbed the depths, if you would, of God's Spirit in prayer. And he has one about prayer and warfare many years ago that I read, and it's just always stood out with me. And I don't always feel this. Sometimes I'm praying. It's just by means of supplication and intercessory prayer for others, but there's other times in life you feel maybe the pressure in the spirit that you are up against something, that you're facing things, and I do believe for me personally, there's some things I've been praying about, knowing in the spirit that we are fighting and warring against some things. Now, I believe we're doing that as a nation, no doubt about. We would agree that there are some spiritual wickedness. There's some things in high places that are going on in our world and in our nation. Now, some people say, "Well, that sounds like conspiracy." No, it sounds like Bible is what it sounds like. It is no conspiracy to say that we are up against something that is bigger than ourselves, and we got to know how to stand and to fight against it. So again, I know this morning y'all would have went in great detail about a lot of this, but I do want to read through the text a little bit, and then I want to focus on the last little portion there, the instruction that the Apostle Paul gives. My plan tonight is make some comments about this warfare and prayer, and then it's my desire that we do some praying of these altars. And I want us to be specific tonight in our prayer lives. I want around these altars, maybe there's some things you know that needs to be dealt with. There's some people that you've been praying for, and I'm a firm believer that we can pray and we can have authority in prayer. That authority, as we're going to see just in basic reading here, is not the authority that I have within myself or that you have within yourself, but it is the authority of God. That's what we operate in. And I forget, I think it's in the book of Jude where the enemy is going to be rebuked, and he says, "The Lord rebuke you," is what the angel says to him, because he looks at, even angels don't have the power to do it, but God does. The enemy's not afraid of anybody in this room necessarily, as far as you and your flesh, but he knows the God that you serve. And I am so glad to know that when we stand in the authority of God and we're living in unity with Him, we're living in intimacy with Him, that I have experienced this in my own life, that the enemy realizes and recognizes when you are yielded to God as you should be. Hence is why it's so important to live such a life. You remember that story there in the book of Acts, they're trying to cast those devils out. They said, "Jesus, I know Paul, who are you? Who are you? They didn't recognize. There was no authority with that. And again, I am not one of those people that believe that we're just pulling down force fields everywhere and it's something like that. But I do believe this, that we have to be vigilant and watchful, and we have to continue to stand and fight against the enemy. So look there, if you would, in Ephesians 6 and 10. And again, our focus is mainly going to be on prayer here this evening. But I want to read through this, just being obedient to the Lord and really wrestle with this all afternoon. I said, Lord, they've heard it already today, but nevertheless, I hope maybe we can highlight some things that was not highlighted this morning. I just want to share what's on my heart. That's what's most important at all. Notice what Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in who? In the Lord. And in the power of whose might? My might, your might, His might. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. This organization, that's what it's talking about. There's rank to this, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Notice again, it's His armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now notice there, he keeps saying this idea of standing. He wants us to stand. That's a very defensive term. And the idea, put your foot in the ground, keep your ground. Now notice this, the devil wants the ground that has been given to you at Calvary. He wants you to yield your ground. He wants you to yield your pea patch, if you would, like in the Old Testament, that man that defended his half acre. He wants you to give up the territory that God has given. He cannot take it. You have to yield it. If you're standing in the Spirit, He cannot take it from you. So notice what it goes on to say in verse 15 about this armor. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And here's what I want to focus on here tonight. No doubt highlighted some this morning. But praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. Notice that he's saying, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Last verse I'm going to read. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, what I would have you notice in your Bibles there, if you would, and we're going to go ahead and dive into this text a little bit before we pray here tonight. Notice what he says in verse 18. Praying always. Now, notice that. There is this constancy in prayer. Notice again the word all. With all prayer and supplication in spirit, and watching thereunto with all. Notice this word all again. All perseverance and supplication for all saints. So notice there that prayer has this, it can encompass all these things. It is amazing about the power of prayer. It doesn't matter who you are here tonight. Doesn't matter necessarily your age or your background. Doesn't matter about your physical stamina, if you would. There's something we all have in common. We can pray. Amen. Everybody in this room can pray. If you have the ability in your mind to know who God is and yield your thoughts to Him, you can pray. That's a great encouragement. It ought to be to those that say, look, maybe I'm not called to preach. Maybe I'm not called to be a deacon, but you're called to pray. Amen. You are called to wage war against the enemy. Maybe you're older here tonight and you may say, well, my years of service servitude. I don't feel like I am as beneficial as I used to. Yes, you are. And I'll tell you right now, your prayers from your recliner, your prayers right there from the den of your house is just as powerful as the preacher's. You can pray. What a great privilege it is to know that we once again need to fall in love with the great necessity and blessing of prayer. Think about prayer. Again, I often say this. I cannot explain to you all how this works. I know God tells me to do it. A God that is sovereign, a God that knows all things, a God that has all power, has looked down here at these pots of clay and said, hey, why don't you ask? Why don't you pray? I'm trusting you. I'm going to use you as a human agent to stand against the enemy. I want you to notice that. When I use that phrase, human agency, because the enemy, the devil, always has to have a human agent. He cannot do everything. He is limited in his ability in the sense that he has to work through human beings. He knows that's the way it is. That's why there's got to be an antichrist one day in this world. And when you read there in Ephesians chapter 6 talking about principalities and talking about powers and talking about rulers of darkness in this world, notice that in this world there's this idea that there has to be some level of human agency in this world. The devil has always used human beings, and he will continue to do so until he's cast into the lake of fire. But God also in his sovereignty has chosen to use us. He's chosen to use us old jars, these old clay pots, and he says, hey, I want you to pray to me, and I'm going to use you to do a mighty work. Again, that's mysterious to me. I can't say I understand everything about all of that, but I'll tell you this right now. He's told me to do it, and that's what I know I need to do. I have felt this at times in my life. As you get down to pray, and you can tell you're up against something larger than yourself. You're fighting things that are bigger than yourself, and you feel the limitations of your flesh and blood. You feel the limitations of your mind, but you also realize something as the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you in prayer. You can tell that he's working something through you and in you that's going to be a blessing to others. That's going to war on your knees. That is praying. That's why Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is going to war against the flesh, against the world, and against that devil. And you and I must do the same thing. Oh, I long for today, the day, and I hope you do as well, that we see great miraculous things transpire right here before our eyes, that we see God's power in prayer just break through and work and move in a mighty way. God, let it be in these last days. Notice first, it says praying always. No doubt some of this was mentioned this morning. You'd have to admit along with me, it's hard to pray always if you think of it in the wrong way. Does that mean that always, Brother Derek, I've just got to be on my knees in prayer? No. This is not talking about a specific posture, if you would. And again, I'll reference many different verses here tonight. But and Jesus said in Luke 21 and 36, watch and pray always. The early apostles in Acts 6 and 4, it says we will give ourselves continually to prayer. It says that Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, that he prayed to God always. Paul in Romans 12 and 12 continued diligently in prayer. And Colossians 4 and 2, continue in prayer. Philippians 4 and 6 tells us not to be anxious, but it goes on to say, but in everything by prayer and by supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And famously it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, pray without what? Ceasing. It tells us to pray without ceasing. Paul would go on to say in 2 Timothy 1 and 3, without ceasing, I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day. There's this idea of constancy in prayer. Now again, that doesn't mean that while you're there at the shipyard or on the job or in the hospital, wherever you're at, that you have to physically drop to your knees and pray. But it's maintaining an attitude of prayer. I know I've mentioned things like this before, but in all reality, I find myself praying throughout the day, doing random things. I may be doing something. All of a sudden, I'll say, well, thank you, Lord, for this. I'll see my children sometimes in the other room. I'll say, Lord, thank you for them. Protect them. Help them serve you when they grow. I'm constantly doing that. That tends to be just something and the Lord's to help my life. I feel like my heart is constantly being touched by the Spirit throughout the day sometimes. And other times, look, I know you can be consumed and busy when you're doing a project or working on something. You may don't feel that moment. But it's that idea that you have a constancy about you. You're prayerful. You're prayerful. You're meditating upon the things of God. And you're praying. And again, this is so important. This is what I would call a pattern of prayer. It means that you're constantly conscious of God's presence in your life. And when you are doing that, again, there's times you're going to wage war against the enemy, maybe even unbeknowingly to you. You're praying. Lord, touch those children, God. Let them serve you. You know what you're doing? You're fighting for their souls. You're meditating upon them. You're praying and say, Lord, save that coworker. You know what you're doing? You're going to war at that moment. You constantly, what this idea of praying always is this, that you have this attitude of prayer. David would say, I have set the Lord always before me. I have set the Lord always before me. Notice that He's always before my eyes. I'm fixed on Him. I'm thinking about Him. And God help us to do the same thing. Notice, he goes on to say, there's a variety of prayers. It says, with all prayer. What is all prayer, Brother Derek? It means all prayer. There's different kinds of prayer. You know, I was reading of some different kinds. One person started highlighting them. All kinds of prayer, public, private, verbal, silent, loud, soft, deliberate, planned, unplanned, spontaneous, request, thanks, confession, humiliation, praise, standing, kneeling, lying down, lifting up your hands, putting your hands down, you name it, pray. Pray while you're eating and before you eat, if you can. It's this idea of sensitivity and mindfulness that you're willing to pray at any moment. Now again, this you may say, well, that sounds exhausting. It's not. You're simply living your life conscious of God's presence. See God in the cup of coffee. See God in the sunshine. Thank God for it all. Meditate on His Word. This helps with this. He would pray, and we are to pray everywhere we go, anytime. Does anybody pray for they take those long trips on the road? Today, my wife went to pick up Chloe and Braxton in Suffolk, meet my parents, and she left, and I said, Lord, protect them. Take care of them. Small. Then I took a 15-minute nap. What are you trying to prove, Brother Derek, is this? That doesn't mean I had to get down and beat the carpet. But I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, touch them, protect them. Lord, you know about them. I ain't going to sit here and stress about it. And if something does happen, God, you know. You know. Because, God, you see all things. See, this is a great part of our defense against the enemy. If you would, now, it is no accident, as you probably heard this morning, that in Ephesians 6, it's going to mention prayer right there tied to the armor. It's armor of God. And our warfare is almost like this is our spiritual strength. This helps us be successful. This helps us to carry on the agenda and the schemes of God to continue on, if you would. We are to pray with all prayer. But notice here, it talks now about the manner of prayer. Notice this, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching. It's this idea. And he goes on to talk about perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now notice this, what is this idea of perseverance and watching? We see these words here. Let's look at this word watching real quick. It literally means lying sleepless. Now, that doesn't mean you can't sleep. But it does mean, and I believe this, there are seasons of your life when you are truly fighting the enemy. You feel the weight of the battle. Now, I've never been to war. I know we've got several veterans here in the church. I can't remember who all been where and exactly what year and time frames all that was. But I have talked to those men. There was Brother Height, I think it is. Yeah, there in Ohio. And I went and preached there when I was evangelizing, small church. And him and his wife would host me and my wife. And he's a Vietnam veteran. And one night we stayed up to 2 o'clock in the morning as he began to share story after story. He saw combat. And it's like once he got talking, he would start showing me pictures over here. Here's a medal when this happened. I remember when the machine gun fire over here, my buddy over there, he said it was some of the most intense, most engaged years of his life. He said it'll wear you out. He said the adrenaline and the stress that's around that. But can I tell you, brothers and sisters, we're fighting a real enemy. And I am not telling you that you cannot have your seasons of reprieve and refreshing. But I will tell you this, there's seasons in your life you've got to go to war on your knees. You got to do it. You got to do it for your family. Look, I got 3 children and number 4 on the way. I know I'm going to have some years or some times in my life I might have to go to war for their souls. I believe it. I'm going to have to do some praying. I'm going to have to do some counseling. I'm going to have to do some discipline. And who knows, when they get to the place that they're no longer under my authority, and they begin, say, God forbid, they do things I disagree with, or things that don't, forget what Daddy disagrees with, God disagrees with. I need to pray and say, God, I know you can save. I know you can go to war. I believe God's able to save and deal. Maybe you got the lost loved one. Maybe you got the lost parent. Whatever it is, the friend, pray. Go to war for their souls. I still believe in prayer and fasting. You know, fasting is one of those things that people sometimes, and I could do more of it. I look at my early years of ministry, and boy, it was just so naturally a part of your life. Weekly and different times, you'd pray and fast and you go to war. And I said, Lord, now that I'm a pastor and I feel like things, I said, I feel the weight. I need to do more of it. I need to push back the plate. Why? Is there something supernatural about it? It's yielding to God and asking Him for the ability and the power and showing Him how much you would like to see those prayers answered. Notice it goes on to tell us many different places in the Bible. Mark 13 and 33, take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Luke 21 and 36, watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass. Hebrews 13 and 17, I'm paraphrasing some of this. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they have watched for your souls. It's the same word there. It's the reason I read that. That word watch there, it's this idea of keeping. It's the idea of being engaged. Watching sights the enemy. Praying fights the enemy. Spiritual warfare is a serious business. We need to pray and be watchful. Now, I am not one to tell you how to pray and when to. But I will encourage you this, take time and implement this in your prayer life. Don't just go to prayer and say, let me give you an example. I don't need to go to prayer and say, well, Derek needs this, Derek needs that, and Derek needs this. I need to go to prayer and say, God, I want your kingdom to come. I want the gospel to prevail. I want Abundant Life Tabernacle to be a beacon, a light of holiness and truth in a community. God, help us to fight a good warfare. Notice it goes on to say praying for how many saints? All saints. Now, does that mean that I have to mention every saint by name? No. But I do believe there's something healthy in this idea that you and I may not can name every saint by name. But we can pray generally. In case we didn't know this, we can pray because prayer, God hears it. I can pray for the saints. God, help the church. Help the body of Christ. I'm praying for all the saints that they stand in these last days. Pray one for another. I mentioned this many times to you in the past. I'm sure I have. But when me and my wife were in Tanzania for a couple of months and I was teaching in a Bible school, one of the Bible school students named Jacob, and we were dealing with the subject of prayer in Bible school, and one of the classes, he raised his hand, and he said, look, Brother Derek, you're talking about intercessory prayer and praying for others. He said, I felt that one day. He said, in my hut, I looked at a map, and I felt the Lord lead me to pray for America and Israel. He said, people I've never met before, but I spent time in prayer asking God to be with them. God, help us to be that sensitive that we can pray not just for ourselves, but for all saints. Notice Paul goes on to say in verse 19, and for me. Pray for me. What does he want you to pray for him? what does he want to happen? Number one, for inspired utterance. He goes on to say that utterance may be given unto me. This idea of utterance means the anointed inspire utterance. Be able to speak for God. Isn't that a great and mighty thing to say? That so-and-so is speaking inspired of God. Recently, I think when we went out to eat one night, me, Brother Shane, and Matthew were talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And I said, look, I know there's different gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes we just see the visible ones, the ones that are maybe the message of tongues and interpretation. I said, but I know there's been times I've been in the pulpit and felt inspired utterance, a word of knowledge or wisdom into specific situations. The Apostle Paul is saying, pray for an utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly. Let me just put it this way. Three reasons or three ways to pray for the preacher. Pray for inspired utterance, for boldness to preach, and for the clarity of gospel preaching. Notice he says, to make known the mystery of the gospel. We want this world to know about the mystery of the gospel. Now, as you would have heard and by way of introduction this morning in Sunday school, if you're in Brother Glenn's class or Sister Parnell's this morning, you would have heard that Paul's a prisoner, most likely chained to a guard, looking at this guard's armor, looking at himself, talking of this and writing these things. And he's asking for prayer. How can we pray for Paul? Well, he's distant, but I want you to notice this. Prayer annihilates distance. I've had people from Africa message me and say, praying for you. And what takes you 20 hours by plane, his prayers go directly to God, and the encouragement and strength can come instantaneously. Paul says, pray for me. There's some people that can't come to church, but we can pray for them. And I believe God can meet them. There's some people right now in the hospital. We can pray. God can go to where they are. Prayer can help annihilate difficulty. He talks about the mystery of the gospel. He wants it to have a free course, if you would. He wants it, and you see that many times. One time he says that the door of affection will be open. It's this idea that God, you're able to help us to get through all the difficult barriers, that the gospel can go forward. And he goes on to say, I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Don't you think the Apostle Paul knew a little something about spiritual warfare? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to remind you here tonight, we are in a spiritual battle. We are. And tonight, I'm purposely not being lengthy because I want us to be specific in prayer. I want to be specific. What's some things that you're warring against? Maybe it's something in your own life, your physical body. Maybe it's something in your own mind. Maybe there's some loved ones out there you want to see get saved. How many knows we need to go to war for America? Who believes that? I'm not just talking about a certain agenda. I'm talking about the fact that there's something more sinister behind things than what we know. Babies are still being killed. Yes, they are. And I am far again. I don't get wrapped up in conspiracy theories and all that, but I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of stuff going on in this world that is not normal, is not right, and is sinister. How do you know that, Brother Derek? Because I got a Bible. And I know that the tribulation period is going to be a time on this earth that it's not going to happen overnight, but it's got to gear up for it. The spirit of the Antichrist is already working. Got to fight it now. Stand against it. I'm praying that God will send some souls this way. There's already some souls at our fingertips. God's already sent this way. If we can pray and say, God, save them, deal with them, help us to minister to them. Let's go to war as a local church body. Stand to your feet here tonight. When Paul says, I am an ambassador in bonds, that word ambassador there means I am a personal representative of the kingdom of God. Can I tell you right now, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're representatives in this world. And look, God has got you in certain places with certain influences for certain reasons. I've said this 100 times, and I firmly believe it. No one preacher can do it alone. Brother James knows people I don't know. There's people he'll come in contact with I will never come in contact with. I wouldn't even know to pray for some of those people. But he does. Right? Brother Nick and his life, he'll come in contact with more and more people that I'll never come in contact with. What are we to do? Continue to pray. God, use me as an ambassador. Help me to go to war. Warfare and prayer. Help me go to war on my knees. I want you to be specific now. I want you to think of some things in your heart and mind that you want to see happen. Some things that you're fighting against. And I want you to come to these altars here tonight. Empty them pews. Pray in your seat if you like. Let's come and go to war on our knees a little bit. That wayward child. Lost loved ones. Sickness. Mental clarity. Gospel presentation. Utterance. I want to pray, he says. Help me put on the whole armor of God. Whole armor of God. Stand. Lord.